The investment group that says it is buying 6 Sackville buildings with a total of 82 units in them says its deal is closing earlier than expected on November 25th, this Friday. A social media post late last week from DJC Properties says that the 82-unit acquisition is closing earlier at the bank's request. An earlier post by Sunset Investments, referring to the same deal, says that building inspections were completed and Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation financing was approved. The post says all buildings are in excellent condition, but for one older 4-unit building. It's not clear what the plans are for the buildings, which are currently owned by local landlord Charles Estabrooks. CHMA has reached out to Estabrooks and Sunset Investments for further details on the deal. Earlier this summer, Sunset Investments bought another Sackville building at 15 King Street and proceeded to evict all tenants in the 16-unit building in order to perform renovations. Among other things, Sunset converted 2-bedroom units to 3-bedroom units and dramatically increased the total rent for each unit. CHMA spoke to one previous King Street tenant who had been paying $775 to rent a 2-bedroom unit at 15 King. In October, converted 3-bedroom units were being advertised for $1,800 per month. Current tenants in the building still owned by Charles Estabrooks are concerned that something like the rent evictions at 15 King Street could be repeated, but on a larger scale. But if the New Brunswick government doesn't extend the current rent cap into 2023, Sunset Investments would not need to evict tenants in order to more than double rents. It could do so simply by giving notice. Julia Woodhall-Melnick is the Canada Research Chair in Resilient Communities and an Associate Professor of Social Science at UNB in St. John. CHMA spoke to her last month when news of the 82-unit sale first broke and asked about the seemingly new phenomenon of investors buying up affordable housing stock.
So it's not a new thing. It's just something that we're seeing more and more in New Brunswick, but it's been happening in New Brunswick for years. Just we haven't been paying as close of attention to it because it hasn't been as big of an issue. So one piece of the puzzle there would be like Killam, right? Killam owns a ton of the buildings that I drive by on the way to work, and they're a real estate investment trust. And, you know, it's something that in the 90s, when housing was really was shifted out of federal responsibility and started to be a bit more deregulated in Canada, we started to see more of these pop up everywhere. REITs are definitely like they're a huge problem in Vancouver. And have been for quite some time now. They're also a massive problem in Toronto, but there's something that's fairly common in university towns as well, too. A lot of investors in university towns in Ontario have bought up the majority of housing stock that students live in. So again, I was saying driving to the university this morning, I drove past, you know, 4 Killam buildings just on a small street, right? And it's the same case in Fredericton when you go near the UMB campus there as well. So again, not new, but it's likely something that's a bit of a newer phenomenon in Sackville, because Sackville's not the place where you think of, you know, giant global investment coming in and, you know, but it's been around for a while in Canada, and it's actually, I'm not surprised that they'd be infiltrating Sackville more because of Mount Allison and constrained student rental markets that we have right now. But it's also, you know, it's disheartening to hear.
Woodhall-Melnick says that while Sunset Investments and DJC Properties, the two company names advertising for investors on social media, do not specifically call themselves REITs or real estate investment trusts, they likely are.
Honestly, to me, it sounds like a REIT. They're looking for investment in their investment firm, right? And surprisingly, a lot of pension plans buy into these REITs, right? Because they're seen as good investment. And I mean, there's a mass amount of global capital involved and whooshing around the global housing market. And, you know, it's all based on speculation, right? These guys are called speculators. They also call themselves investors sometimes too. They're like multiple different things that people call themselves. But, you know, because of the bad press surrounding REITs, not a lot of companies directly come out and say we're a REIT anymore. So to me, it sounds like a real estate investment trust.
Okay. In the most practical terms, what does that mean for renters if real estate investment trusts are buying up the properties that they're renting?
Nothing good. So real estate investment trusts have one mandate. And this is something that, you know, they have, you know, by definition, it has become very, very clear. And, you know, like this is their defined mandate. They have one mandate and it is to maximize profit for their investors over everything else. So that is their mandate. It's not to provide stable housing to people. It's not to, you know, ensure that people have places to live. It's not to provide the best quality housing for, you know, a reasonable, affordable price. Their mandate is to make as much profit as possible for their investors. So that's their mandate, and that's what they'll do. So they'll find ways within their particular projects to optimize capital so then they can refinance their capital and then sort of rinse and repeat and get another building. So when you're refinancing with a bank, one thing that the bank takes into consideration is the profitability of the current unit or the current building or whatever it is that you're trying to refinance. So basically, if they can get the rents up in each of their units, then all of a sudden their assets are more liquid because it's seen as being more profitable than what they purchased it for. So in a very quick time, like within the span of a year, with an increased balance sheet, they can remortgage this building for a lot more than what their initial mortgage was for, take that difference in capital and reinvest it into another building. So again, this is why I say it's like all based on like global capital. Like there's no actual like real value. It's all like the borrowing value in this stuff, right? And liquid assets that are floating around, basically. It's all based off of like capital gains. So what this means for tenants is that, you know, they will try to find ways to increase rents on units.
Woodhall Melnick says there's a distinct difference between REITs like Sunset Investments and more traditional landlords like Charles Estabrooks.
There's a different motive that REITs have behind, or that's different from landlords, right? Like that landlord who owns 80 units. Yeah, you know, that's like probably been a big part of his life work that, you know, puts food on his table and lets him save for retirement, right? The second you have a REIT step in or a speculative landlord or an investor or whatever it be, their number one goal becomes to make as much profit as they can off the unit, to reinvest that profit in another unit, to then make the most profit off of those units, to then reinvest in another building. Like the motive is just completely different than what a singular landlord would have.
Woodhall Melnick says that there are solutions that can help tame the proliferation of REITs.
We need renter protections that are going to make purchasing these buildings by REITs to be less attractive. We're going to have to put legislation in place that makes it less attractive for them to even offer that money to the landlords that own those units now, right? We are going to have to make sure that we have our own like social housing stock, affordable housing stock, that can't be bought up by investors and that will provide affordable options to people. So, you know, they can't keep raising rent if the market won't allow that. If there's somewhere else for these folks to go that costs less, they'll go there. So we need to have other affordable options available and tenant protections that make it less attractive for these REITs to enter the scene.
That's UNB Social Sciences Professor Julia Woodhall Melnick, the Canada Research Chair in Resilient Communities. The New Brunswick government has still not announced a decision on whether it will extend its cap on rental increases, which were limited to 3.8% in 2022. With just 6 weeks left in the year, some tenants' advocacy groups are gathering to demand an extension, and soon. Supporters are gathering for a rally this Saturday in Fredericton on the front lawn of the legislature at 1 p.m. You can find out more information on Facebook under Rally to Extend the Rent Cap.